Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, the only show where two Total Dudes review one Total Divas show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling themed Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp, and joining me, as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare, is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guy's Wrestling Show. He is the salacious B-crump to my Jabba the Hutt, so hop on out of that Sarlacc pit, and welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign fella, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing a little better this week, although I have still not found the Green Mountain Coffee because someone gave me the misleading information to head to Staples, but I did replace the aforementioned tea from last episode. I am waiting to finish what I have, so I can now start on Stash's Red Velvet Tea.
Red Velvet?
Red Velvet.
That sounds interesting. Have you tried it before, or will it be a new experience?
It will be a new experience, much like the Jam and Lemon Ginger Tea, although that did not turn out so well, but I have high hopes for Stash's Red Velvet Tea. Very high hopes.
Well, I hope to get a report on this maybe next week. Will you be through your tea by then?
I should be able to start the Red Velvet by then.
This is exciting. This is exciting news. Trying the Red Velvet Tea made by whom?
Stash.
Stash?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
Major brands of tea.
How's it spelled? I need to look at this.
S-T-A-S-H.
Oh, well, yeah, like I assumed, but I guess I shouldn't have. Nothing is coming up. Oh, there's Stash Tea. It's like the fifth thing, though. They're not that big.
They're fairly big.
Oh, let's see. Tea. Let's see. I want to see this Red Velvet. Let's see what other flavors they might have. Shop by flavor. Why? Oh, a wild raspberry hibiscus herbal tea. Have you ever tried that?
I have, actually. That's not bad.
How about the Spice Dragon Red Chai herbal tea?
I've not tried the Red Chai yet.
What is your favorite kind of tea? What do you prefer when you go for your tea?
I like a nice ginger tea, I would say. Although the Jam and Lemon Ginger, it was too much going on. I think they counteracted the lemon and the ginger by combining them. But just a straight up ginger tea, that's delightful.
Mm-hmm. Straight up ginger tea. That sounds like a really good song by Paula Abdul, Straight Up Ginger Tea. Paula Abdul's number one hit.
That could have been like a bonus track back in 88.
What if she took those songs, Straight Up Nathan, and she re-recorded it with lyrics about your favorite brand of ginger tea in order to you know, make a jingle, help sell it. Paula Abdul is a big star. Maybe she could move some of that ginger tea, you know, get it going.
I don't see why she wouldn't want to do that.
Oh, brother. So what's the scuttlebutt, sign guy? What else is going on besides your tea?
Well, apparently, Zane Paisley, you're familiar with Zane Paisley. He is
hugely
upset. He's fuming over this scandal in the softball Little League World Series because the Washington State team was accused of throwing a game to get a preferred opponent in the finals. He was horribly disenfranchised.
Yeah. I don't think I could possibly care less about that.
Not even if, like, he gave you $50 to start caring less.
I would try really hard, but I don't know if I could try hard enough. And that would disappoint all of us.
Yeah, it's true. But apparently Zane Paisley is not familiar with the lengths that parents will go to in the state of Washington when it comes to the Little League World Series.
It's fairly important, apparently.
Well, see, the parents are huge into this Little League World Series. That's why many years you see on the boys' side when it's Little League Baseball, teams from Bellevue, Washington competing because there's a whole lot of rich people in Bellevue, Washington, and those parents will pay for minor league players that need some work in the off season to be personal coaches for their kids. They'll send their kids to the biggest, most expensive baseball camps. They'll do whatever it takes. They'll pay for the, like, former professional players to coach the little league team, whatever it takes to get there. They take it hugely seriously here in the state of Washington.
Well, it makes sense.
Not to Zane Paisley. He was aghast.
Has he ever heard of any sport ever in the history of all time? They've all had their moments of throwing a game, especially like boxing and baseball. They've both been found guilty of it. Look at the White Sox, right? Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah, that Black Sox scandal. Although it did help out the Reds, who probably would have won anyway.
No.
Yeah, they would have.
No, the White Sox
they were
sure
clearly
be
superior.
No one was better than Shoeless Joe Jackson. He didn't even wear shoes when he played baseball. Barefoot.
Well, a lot of guys didn't wear helmets either. It doesn't make them superior. It makes them playing in a different era.
I don't know. You know, I want to bring up a certain argument while we're here just discussing nonsense. On the Raw pre-show from Minneapolis, Minnesota, most recent Raw, David Otunga, the completely forgotten lawyer in the WWE, made the statement that Brock Lesnar is far and away the greatest athlete ever from the state of Minnesota. How do you feel about
that,
fine
guy?
He's
not from Minnesota.
Well, but you know, Minnesota's where he claims, you know, that's what, in essence, he's Minnesota.
He went to school there. He didn't come from there.
Then we're already assuming this is a lie.
Yeah, it is. Much like the previous week when Michael Cole and JBL repeatedly lied, thus ruining the Raw experience for anyone watching when they kept saying, we're here in Seattle, Washington. We're live from Seattle, Washington, when clearly they were not. They were in an entirely different county, 25 miles away from where Seattle is. So this David Otunga lying about Brock Lesnar being from Minnesota when he's claimed on WWE television multiple times he is from a small farm town in South Dakota is not surprising.
Yes. Nope. And even if he was from Minnesota, I still go with Vern Gagne as the greatest athlete from that state for many reasons. Many reasons. I am very firm in my resolve of this. Vern Gagne, he, you know, went to Minnesota all 4 years, not like Brock Lesnar, who was a junior college geek and then went to Minnesota for 2 years. And Vern Gagne was enough of an athlete to be a success in football and wrestling. Football, he was named All Big Ten. He was drafted into the NFL, but he instead chose to stick with wrestling because it was more lucrative for him. But he was drafted into the NFL. He was All Big Ten in football. So he was a football success at a big time school like Minnesota. And then wrestling, he won 2 NCAA championships. Brock Lesnar only won a single one. In addition, in the midst of his college time, he left to go be a goddamn Marine. A Marine. Vern Gagne, far and away. He was supposed to be in the Olympics, but they found out he was, you know, getting paid to wrestle, so he was considered a professional. He couldn't be. Vern Gagne.
All right. Where do you see Kurt Hennig in this debate?
He's definitely below Lesnar and Gagne, but he's pretty high on the list. There's some baseball players. Roger Maris is from Minnesota. I would put him fairly high on there. But, you know, if you really look at it, Lesnar's had a good, you know, pedigree, but nothing like Vern Gagne had, I feel.
And he's not from Minnesota.
And he's not from Minnesota anyway, so Lesnar can kick rocks. We're riding the Gagne train, brother. Let's not even talk about this show. Let's just keep talking about nonsense. Let's play a game, Sonny. I got a game for you.
Is it over under?
Nope. This game is called 20 Questions. Can Sign Guy figure out what I had for dinner? Moments. Mere moments before I called in. So, 20 questions. Go.
Was it something that was baked?
I would say it was baked, yes. One.
Was
question.
It a lasagna?
No, it was not a lasagna. Two questions.
Was there meat in the dish?
This is a tough question to answer, but I'll say yes, there was meat in this dish.
Did it come with some type of sauce?
Yes, there was a sauce.
Was it a baked spaghetti?
It was not a baked spaghetti. We're at 5 questions.
Is this something QT could order at a 7-Eleven?
I mean, it's possible, but I'm going to say no.
Is this something that Zane Paisley could order at his favorite bar and grill?
Quite possibly, yes. Quite possibly.
Is this something that would pair with a red wine?
You might pair white wine with this. I'm not sure. Let me see real quick. You think for a minute. I'm going to see what wine you would pair with this. I want to be factual. Yes, red wine. This looks like what they're saying. Yes, red wine. Yes.
I see.
Nope. I'm taking it back. This says the rule of thumb that with this dish, white wine is what you go with. White wine.
Is there some form of cheese served with this dish?
There was no cheese, no. We're halfway through the questions as well.
Is there some type of beef involved with said meat?
Nope.
Is this a pork in the meat?
Nope.
Was the dish turkey Alfredo?
Nope. 13 questions.
Was the dish longer than 10 minutes to prepare?
Technically, yes, it was.
Was this a 14. Poultry-based dish?
No, it was not poultry-based. 15 questions. Man, this is kids.
Was this dish something that required more than 5 ingredients to fully prepare?
No. 16 questions.
Was this dish a pot pie?
It was not a pot pie. 17 questions.
Was this dish an Italian-based cuisine?
It was not. What is this, 18 questions? Yes.
Yes. Was this dish a hero sandwich?
It was not a hero sandwich.
Is this
our last question?
It is. Was this dish a pita sandwich?
It was not. So, your 20 questions are over. You have one final guess of what did I eat for dinner moments before calling the show.
I'm going to say it was venison stew.
That is incorrect. It was a fish sandwich.
Ah.
You were getting close.
Was the fish perhaps tilapia?
Quite possibly. I'm not sure exactly. I'm pretty sure it's just called beer-battered fish, and it's frozen, and you put it in the oven, and it bakes for 12 minutes. You flip it over, it bakes for 12 more minutes. Then I put it on we only have wheat bread. We didn't have any buns, but I slapped it on some wheat bread, lathered on the sauce, which was jalapeno mustard, and then I ate that. There you go.
It could have been pollock. It could have been cod. It could have been tilapia. It could have been halibut.
I'll have to look for you. Yeah. You know what? You hit that music, and I'll go look. Alaskan pollock. I thought it would be like a cod or a tilapia. I didn't think it would be an Alaskan pollock, but it was.
There are very, very many different types of white fish that are used when you beer batter fish for frozen products.
And you know what? That fish is getting beer battered in my stomach like crazy. I'm slamming those Miller Lights. The blood of the heavens is pouring into my mouth. I don't even know what that means. But, you know, Alaskan pollock, probably my favorite pollock. after Jackson, but before Kevin. It's time for that part of the show where we take a scene from the Total Divas episode we watched. We transcribe said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional cost. Tonight's scene features Sign Guy portraying the Brian Kendrick, while I shall portray Natalie Eva Marie Coyle. And scene. My legs are just not giving me any oomph.
Is that it? Or are you scared?
Maybe a little of both. Let's try it just like one more time. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
That good?
Yeah. Feel good?
Yeah!
Good. All right, let's do it again.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
You ready for it without the pad then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Good. Very good. Very good.
Yes? Thank God, what was this?
This was the final scene of the episode tonight where Eva Marie, after 6 days of training, decided it was time that she mastered a finisher so she could finish off all of her opponents in the upcoming months. And with much thought, she just decided to take Brian Kendrick's and just use that because she couldn't think of anything else. So she's like, what do you use? And he's like, I use white bread number two, but they won't let me call it that anymore, so it's the Kendrick. And she's like, I'll use that. I'll just steal it. And then they practiced it, and she finally hit it because Brian Kendrick mm-hmm. was doing everything himself, making her have that boost of confidence.
Yes.
And now she has a finishing move if she ever wrestles again.
They called it the Kendrick, didn't they?
Yes.
Isn't it called sliced bread number two?
That's what I just said.
I know, but I wanted to really get that point across. What is the deal?
Well, I believe because other companies started using the name for people to use that particular move, someone else probably trademarked it, and so WWE was like, when you're on our shows, don't use that name, just call it anything. And he's like, well, how about the Kendrick? And they're like, sure. And he's like, could I sneak something else past you that's related to a different wrestling company? And they were like, sure. And he's like, okay, thanks. And he did that.
Now, she wrestled on NXT recently. And she did that move as her finisher. Do we know what they called it when that happened? I don't remember.
Because no one ever saw it. People were going to the kitchen. They were going to the loo. They were calling their favorite aunt. They were doing anything in the world except watching that match.
Now, I watched that match, and
no one in the world watched that match. Don't you lie to the Total Dude audience.
yeah, I think you're right. I didn't watch it. So this episode was not good. It wasn't like, you know, when the show's bad, that's fine. When the show's good, that's fine. This was one of those episodes where it's just not good. It's just, it was there. Nothing really happened. There were only a few characters on it, realistically. I hate when the show only has like a few things to focus on because they're usually not good. And there was really no Natty. I need her. Natty had one scene. It was excellent, but this episode
She had two scenes.
But one scene was excellent.
Was the other scene where she almost killed a man?
No, that was good.
That
too.
Was the best thing
you're
she'd
right.
ever done.
Just tell us about that.
Well, they're at Fort Benning for no apparent reason whatsoever to shoot firearms. They're like,
yes.
Let's give these broads automatic weapons without any training. It'll be great. And they're like, yeah. So this one soldier gives Natty fully automatic weapon, and he's like, yeah, just shoot it. And she's like, what if I hit something I'm not supposed to? And he's like, that's not possible, because he doesn't know Natty. So she fires this weapon and then immediately turns and points it at the guy that's helping her with her fingers still on the trigger. And he's like, I can't believe
no.
I did it. And he just dives and grabs the gun, and he's like, I can't believe you were going to shoot me, but you were. And then Natty probably like, let me tell you about my cat, and started talking about her cat. But they quickly got off the filming of Natty pointing a live round of ammunition at a poor serviceman that was just following orders of a drunken general, apparently.
Why did that happen?
That's what the U.S. Army is saying right now. Someone high up in the Army is saying, why did that happen? Why did we give civilian broads with the collective IQ of 8 automatic weapons and have them start firing? And no one has an answer for it. Did anyone teach them proper firearm safety, this like high-level Army general is saying? And the subordinate is saying, sir, no, sir. That's why one of the broads said, cute and safe. We got to be cute and safe. Because as long as she looks cute when she shoots the serviceman, everything's forgiven, apparently. They'll give her a medal. They're like, well, you missed your target, and you killed 3 men, but your outfit's adorable. Adorable, Ariane.
This was, yeah. Now, let me talk about the other Natty scene that I enjoyed. So, apparently, Natty and Charlotte were together. Charlotte was enjoying a nice cup of coffee. Perhaps it was a pumpkin spice latte. We don't know what kind of coffee it was. That was not discussed.
We know it is not a pumpkin spice latte because they filmed this in the spring, early summer, when pumpkin spice was not available.
Well, but she's Charlotte Flair. She gets what she wants when she wants it, brother.
Not when she's wanting pumpkin spice out of season.
Okay, so it was a... What are they doing spring? What's a big spring coffee? Maybe it was just a breakfast blend. Who knows? What do you think the coffee
guess
was?
She had, I bet they stopped at a filling station and she grabbed one. So I'm going to guess mm-hmm. it was just like a Colombian roast.
Yeah, they were definitely at a gas station because that's mentioned in the scene. So Charlotte's drinking her Colombian roast, enjoying it, and she's standing above Natty in some way. And somehow she dumped her cup of scalding hot coffee on Natty's head. And Natty did nothing about it because she went into the gas station and the gas station attendant said, wow, I love your hairdo. And Natty thought that was a great thing. A nice compliment from a gentleman she's never seen in her life. So she just left the coffee in her hair. Her hairdo of coffee spilled on it is what she went on national TV with.
She just hoped it didn't stain her jacket.
Yeah, and she said, you know, it's just, I'm so far gone. A cup of scalding hot coffee gets on my head, and I did nothing. I don't do anything. She said that. It doesn't bother her that she has coffee hair.
Not only that, it was scalding hot, so it probably like left welts all over her head.
And she didn't care at all. But man, this episode needed more of her. So tell me about it. Who was your bottom? Let's go. It's obvious who it is, I think.
Brie Bella this week.
Yeah, oh my God, by far and away. This might be the one episode where it's so far away, it was obvious she was the worst, right? Like, there's no competition.
There wasn't even someone close by.
No. Tell us about her.
Well, Brie Bella and her sister Nikki decide one morning, let's open up some form of fitness club no one's ever heard of. That's a great
Bar, what is
idea.
I gotta Google this. I gotta know what bar is. What is
I
bar? Have
thought
you
they
heard
wanted
of
like a wine bar when they were talking about it. And all of a
it?
sudden they're talking about like fitness. I'm like,
Yeah.
why are they going to be working out with wine bottles? And it was something completely different I'd never heard of before in my life. But they'd planned this out for minutes. So obviously it's a well-orchestrated idea. And they call this meeting with JJ and Kathy Colas to let them in on it. And then Nikki, supposedly strictly by accident, said, oh, you guys have to invest all of your money into our project and run it for us. But we'll get to keep the profits. And then Brie explodes in the loo and she's like, why did you invite them? Now go want to take part in it and I hate my family and I hate you.
Now,
And
hold on,
Nikki's like,
hold on.
ooh.
I need to interject for a moment. Here's what I saw in that scene. Brie Bella, said that, oh, you guys could just help out when something goes wrong, right? And then Nikki goes into, yeah, why don't you guys all invest your money? We can go together. We'll all make money from this. It'll be a great thing for all of us. When we need help, you guys will be here, And then Brie's like, no, I want everyone to be my slave. I want them to do all my work and I won't pay them a dime because they're family. They should do that for me. You stop it, Nikki. How dare you invite them into this money-making possibility? They should do this for free. I'm Brie Bella. I'm the worst human being that's ever lived. That's what I saw.
It was close, but she explodes in the loo, screaming, how could you invite
Yes.
these people, these strangers, my brother and mother, to take part in this business? Why would anyone do that? I hate you. I hate the fact that you're born. I hate you. Now, where's your $100,000 to invest in this? Because I need it right now. Hand it over. And, they went back and forth through the whole episode, the whole episode. And then Bree wants to cut out the brother and the mother, and she's just not wanting to cooperate when JJ's like, well, I'll take you around and show you properties with this real estate guy that
Yeah.
I hired since I'm invited to take part in this investment. And Bree's
Yes.
like, he's taking control and he's planning to be part of this when I just want him to do the work. And not take any profit. And so she's just irate and she's like trying to sabotage all these places. And she's like, no. And people watching at home are like, what is Winky Face Jonak doing in this episode? And then Bree's like, shut up, stop talking. And they're like, oh, it's Bree Bella doing a Winky Face imitation. And then Nikki's like, well, I'll just rub out the sister and we'll just like pretend that she's not ever invested in this and she'll never notice because she's stupid. And then JJ's like, well, both of my sisters are stupid, so I'll rub them both out and I'll open up this business myself and I'll make all the money. And then he started doing the Beast Barnett, I got all the money, and doing the little Beast Barnett dance at home. And Beast Barnett's like, that's my only thing. And JJ's like, don't care. And he keeps doing it. And he's like, I got all the money. I got all the Brie Bella money. And then the sisters, since he told both of them, hey, we're all trying to rub each other out of this project, except for Kathy Colas, who's okay with her son-in-law impregnating her opposite daughter and having some form of mutant drunken child with three eyes as my grandchild. That was his plan. And Bree, she caught on to this, and there's like this going out, and her and Nikki get into this, like, shouting matches or getting pedicures, because why not shout at the top of your lungs how much you hate your sibling right next to total strangers who were working on your feet?
Well, let me tell you about this bar workout, okay? I looked it up. Are you ready to hear what this is?
As long as it involves wine.
I'm sure it does. Here is how it's described. Most bar-based classes use a combination of postures inspired by ballet and other disciplines like yoga and Pilates. The bar, you actually use a bar in it, is used as a prop to balance while doing exercises that focus on isometric strength training combined with high reps of small range of motion movements. Also, don't be surprised if your class incorporates light handheld weights, aka wine bottles, to bring the burn during all those reps. So this is what bar is. What do you make of that?
Sounds like one of those hippie trendster fads that'll be dead in like a year.
Absolutely. It's nonsense. And, you know, Nikki Bella realized how garbage this all was, and she just wanted to put in like an actual gym on the other side of it so she could do powerlifting. So one side would be the ballet, bar, yoga, hippie dance studio, and the other side would be a bunch of big plates for, I guess, women to come in and do heavy lifting. I don't know what her idea was.
Well, she knew it was going to fail, and once it failed, they were just going to open up an actual bar, and that way they don't have to change the sign. It'll just say bar, and people will, like, just start drinking wine, and she'll like, well, I'm not a drunk. I went to the bar workout place today for, like, 3 hours, but she won't say to drink 8 bottles of wine. She'll just make them think that trend of last year is still going strong for some reason in one part of the country. That was the plan. It was obvious.
Brie Bella, she was mean to everyone. She was calling her sister stupid at certain points when Brie has never said anything correctly in her life. It is clearly the dumber one somehow. After watching seasons of the show, I now believe that Brie Bella is definitely dumber than Nikki. Are we in agreement on this?
I don't know. After the whole test failing with the name thing, I'm just not sure. And the fact that Kathy had to jump in and give her basic math answers because she was afraid her daughter would fail 7 plus 13.
Oh, man. Which one's dumber? I don't know. That's a hard question, honestly.
I think they're probably same level dumb, just one of them knows a little bit more about one aspect than the other.
Well,
like, for example, Nikki Bella struggles getting the name part. Brie Bella struggles getting the name part on the test. Nikki Bella probably screwed up date, and she said, how about Saturday?
Well, this show, it didn't have a lot of unlikable stuff going on outside of the Bella's horribleness. So the one person that I decided to put down as well that I disliked was Rosa Mendez. And it was solely for the fact that she was unaware if sworn was an actual word. Seriously. This grown-ass adult human being was not sure if sworn was a word.
Well, to be fair, she's speaking English as her second language.
Is she? I don't believe she is. She's from Canada.
I thought they said she was from South America.
They might have said that, but she's actually from Canada. I've looked this up before. I'm going to look it up for you right now. Rosa Mendez. Canadian. Boom.
Wow.
Canadian profession. Yep, she's from Vancouver.
That's in British Columbia.
Yep. So maybe she grew up speaking like French or something, perhaps. But
not
nope, she's
Vancouver.
No, and her background is Czech and Costa Rican. So, yeah, as far as I
Yeah.
see, English was her family's language. They lived in Canada, you know, they so it is not her second language, as far as I can tell.
Unless the father was Costa Rican and they spoke Spanish in the home.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible. But I don't know. But that's why I didn't like her for that. She didn't know sworn was a word. So that's enough to make me annoyed. Who else you got on your list?
Well, I had Nikki Bella. We pretty much covered everything there. She
Yeah.
was as bad. She's like, let's just pretend that Brie Bella doesn't exist and we'll build the business and then we won't get her a key to it and then she won't be able to get in there. And so she won't be part of the business. And he's like, that's a great idea. By the way, I gotta go now. And he drove straight to Brie Bella's house. Nikki said, you can't be part of the business. You can't be a part of the business. And he's just like acting like he's eight. And then Bree's like, well, she didn't want you in the business. And he's like, you guys got to make up because we won't have a business if you don't make up. And then I can't run it. And, but Nikki's like, well, I hate everyone here, but okay. And Nikki was just as bad as Brie Bella, but didn't blow up as much as Brie Bella.
Very true. She
And
was.
she just opened the door and walked in, and Bree's like, oh, she just opens my door. And Nikki's like, you invited me. But she didn't say, come in. She just said, come to the house, which is weird because I didn't think they even lived in the same town anymore. But now apparently all three of them live in the same neighborhood. And then Nikki like squirts wine right in her eye, and I don't even know how that was possible, opening up a bottle of wine. I have never seen that done ever in my life.
I'm going to say, though, that's not the first time something squirted in Nikki Bella's eyes.
Wow.
But I have to give Nikki Bella a little credit because she said that her sister couldn't lift weights at all and that she looked like a doe. A little baby deer is what his sister looks like. I thought that
And
was
while
funny.
this is true, Nikki Bella constantly on this very show has had to ask John Cena how to do the most basic of weightlifting techniques.
Yes. Well, let's talk about our favorites then. I had JJ Bella as my favorite.
Wait,
JJ
I had a
Garcia. I
number
love him.
three.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
I would think so. I was excited to talk about this number three, and he just jumped right over him. Right over him. Like he didn't
All
exist. And he
right,
does.
go for it.
Number three, I had Jonathan Coyle. And it was
Oh.
for one scene. Actually, it was for the whole episode because he didn't eat anything. And that's the one thing he's got to do for me to like him. He ate nothing this episode.
He ate nothing, not a single thing.
Not even a sandwich.
Not
So
one
then.
steak.
To make matters worse, he and Eva Marie are watching YouTube video of just random matches to come up with what her finishing move should be. And they watch Sid break his leg in Indianapolis,
Oh,
which was not as bad as my broken leg in Indianapolis, for the record.
okay, yeah,
And
you, yeah.
I had confirmation mine was worse when I
Yeah,
finished my match.
a lesser man would have died.
They really would have. But Jonathan Coyle tells Eva Marie, well, you can't be doing these moves because it takes 10 to 15 years to learn how to do a finishing move. 15 years you have to be in the business before you know how to do one finisher. So all these guys that have had like 8-year careers, 10-year careers, apparently,
Yes.
they never finished their match because it takes 15 years to learn how to do one finishing move. Say you have a finisher of a crossbody block. Can't use it until you're a 15-year veteran. Can't do that cost body. Not been in 15 years yet. Sorry.
Here's what's wacky about that. The same night, the same Tuesday night, while watching Tough Enough, they all, these guys who've never wrestled a match, well, they wrestle one match, but these guys have to figure out a finishing move. Not 15
yes,
years.
Which made zero sense. They're like, first day, 15 years. Nothing in between. Nothing in between. Either day one, you have it, or you got to wait 15 years into your career before you know how to do a finishing move.
This is their shows. Their shows. They advertise the shows on each other. They tell you during Tough Enough where you see these brand new wrestlers at one match on TV. Brand new. Tell them, you got to come up with a finishing move because everybody has to have a finishing move, even you brand new wrestlers who've never wrestled a real match in your life. And then we flip it over to their other show. They say, you're trying to get a finishing move? Have you wrestled for 15 years yet? Nah, no finishing move.
Well, to be fair, it was Jonathan Coyle saying that, not anyone that's ever actually wrestled. But
that's
still,
very true.
15 years, he predicts, it takes a wrestler to learn how to do a finishing move. When his wife works with these broads who do finishing moves all the time, none of them are even close to 15 years. Not remotely close.
There's very few people in the WWE that are at 15 years, I would say.
A handful. None of the broads. Not one of the broads. Natty is probably the most tenured in the business.
She might,
she's at like maybe 10.
I'm going to look and see. This is why I have my laptop with me this whole time, so we can look immediately and know how right or wrong we are. Natalya, she started wrestling. She started training in 2000 and 2001. I'm looking to see when she wrestled her first match. She started working as a ring announcer for Matt Rats. 2003
wow,
is what I see. Wow. Yeah, 2003 is what I see as her first match. So she's at, 12, 13 years. So she shouldn't have a finisher either.
Three more years. But even like, I need a finisher because Natalya has the sharpshooter and Nikki has the rack attack. Nikki's not close to 15 years.
No.
Poor Jonathan Coyle, it must take 15 years to do a finisher, and you've only been training for 6 days. And then he just presumed automatically that if she tried a finisher, she would die.
Yeah.
Like, if you do a move, you'll automatically just die. Because that's what happened. Look at Sid. His leg snapped. That'll happen to every single person if they do a move and they haven't been in for 15 years. That was his logic.
And he wasn't doing a finisher either.
He was doing he tried to do a missile drop kick, I think it was.
Yeah, but not a finisher.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going to finish the match. It was just Johnny Ace insisted he do a top rope move despite Sid begging him not to make him do it. It was the worst leg break in wrestling until I broke my leg and then finished my match and offered to go out if they needed me later in the show.
Yes. Well, let's move on.
Now we may move on to favorites.
Let's get out of the hate. Let's get into the pure joy. The pure delight, like I said, my top was JJ Garcia Bella. I love him. He was technically, I don't know, he's kind of the worst, and he probably should be on the top of the list. But he just has that ultimate douchebag heel quality. Exactly what The Miz wishes he was, but The Miz is not. This guy just has it. And every time you see him, you kind of hate him. And he's just so good. He just oozes shame. Like, what comes out of him is just all the shame of his life. And it's so good. So, the one scene that I enjoyed with him particularly, he had a few things that he did that were fine. but it was when they were all driving along in the car, and Nikki and Brie are being the horrible humans they are, yelling at him, "You're the worst driver, you're this and that," and he just shuts them down and shuts their asses up. And that's because he's a great man. And anyone that'll shut up the Bellas, A plus. That's, you know, JJ Garcia, if you're listening, don't fuck your sisters anymore. What do you
Why
got?
Do you
what
think
you got?
He tried to get Nikki to open that bottle of wine? It had to be the worst corkscrew in the history of the world.
He gave her a corkscrew later. All right, what do you got?
No, drink the whole bottle. It'll be fine. I'll take care of you. I'll undress you if you have to be put to bed. And then he winked.
Oh, no. They're never going to be guests on our show.
They probably listened to when Trinity's dad was on, and they said the same thing.
All right, who'd you like?
Well, number three, I had John.
Yes. Now, you know what? Let's just say all of them were awesome. Can we just say that?
All Johns?
John, his little Johns, and his wife, Trinity. I loved all of them.
All right. Well, see, I had John out of, like, that whole group. I had him specifically.
Yes.
And it's because he learned his lessons from past shows, and he didn't just start flipping out and throwing bottles and glasses and kicking stuff. He kept calm. He's like, so my wife spent hundreds of dollars on a bouncy house on a random Wednesday afternoon. For no reason. So she invited a zoologist to bring over an entire petting zoo following the bouncy house.
A damn alligator.
He said, I'm gonna stay calm. Like, so I got my hand up the business end of an alligator. I'm not gonna kick anything. I'm gonna stay calm. So my ex-wife is calling me, screaming that the kids are failing school because they don't want to do homework. I'm going to just smile and say, it's nothing, no big deal, it's all right. And he stayed calm this time. He's improving in that. He mastered his anger management, left that at the old one-bedroom apartment, and now that they're in this nice house, he's calm. Not going to phase John anymore.
And you know what? He went in the bouncy house. Talk about that. That was my favorite part.
When he goes into the bouncy house?
Yes. Describe that in very explicit detail.
Well, he goes up to the bouncy house renter, which sadly was not TJ. Because when
okay,
you think
pause,
bouncy
though.
House, you think when... What's that?
Brett, the bounce house builder, on my list.
Yeah.
He's just a cool dude. Just setting up bounce houses and bringing joy to the lives of children and John Uso. He's awesome. So tell us about Uso on this bounce house.
Well, he goes up there thinking maybe it's TJ since TJ invested in a bounce house, but it was not. It was Brett, the bounce house guy. And he's like, oh, so yeah, we got this bounce house, huh? Yeah. Wife didn't tell me anything about this. And he's like, not a word, huh? And he's like, nope. And Brett's like, always the last no, huh? And he's like, yep, every time. But he didn't get mad. He's like, so the guy's going to walk out of here with half my paycheck for a bounce house that my kids will use for 10 minutes, get bored, and leave.
Because the alligators are chasing him around. They just let the alligators loose. Have a good old time.
But John climbs in his bounce house. And he bounces because he wants to get some money's worth out of it. So he's like, if I bounce enough, I'll feel like it was worthwhile.
Then the slide. Tell us about him trying to go down the slide.
You got a little stuck. Yeah, you did not make it.
He was stuck on the slide. Man, that was a good scene. The bouncy house scene. And Brett was a delight. I love Brett, the bouncy house builder. Just a great man.
I just wish he'd worked for TJ.
I did too. That would have been good.
Because TJ now, invested in that with his sister. So how great would it be? TJ just comes over to the bounce house and he's like, John, got your bounce house that your wife wanted. And John's like, TJ, I didn't know anything about it. And TJ like, oh, yeah, I'm married to Natty. I know what you mean. And John's like, what should we do? And TJ's like, oh, it's already paid for, eh? Got to set up the bounce house.
Got to set up the old bounce house. He'd say old.
Yeah, I would.
We gotta set up the old bounce house. Right, oldies? Oh, man. And now, I gotta give Trinity my love. She was on the list. I love how devoted she was to John's children. I find that very admirable. Myself, you know, I'm in the same situation. My wife has children from a previous marriage, and I love them as if they were my own. So, I found that endearing, that she was taking that upon herself to get the minivan so the kids could have fun. And she said the line, oh, the kids could do so many activities in here. And that had to be a reference to the perfect movie Step Brothers. Have you seen Step Brothers, Sign Guy?
I have not.
You need to check it out. Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly become Step Brothers, and they live in the top. It's one of my favorite movies. I've probably seen it a million times. The Catalina Wine Mixer, brother. It's the fucking Catalina Wine Mixer. You need to see it. So put that on your list. It's great. Perfect movie. And so she said a line from that movie and that endeared me to her. Then she got the bounce house for the damn kids for no reason. Nobody's ever done that. Can you imagine if you're a little kid and like you're going like, you know, with your dad, you're like, oh God, I'm gonna have to do my homework. And you get there and there's just a goddamn bounce house. And then while you're doing the bounce house, some asshole shows up with alligators that you just get to run around and frolic with. You're just frolicking with alligators, whatever else that guy brought, pygmy goats, who knows what he has. You're just hanging out in the bounce house with the damn
goats.
Yeah, you had damn goats, so you're just hanging out in the bounce house with goats and fucking alligators. And you're just avoiding your homework. You're just having the best life, so that's awesome. And then she takes the kids and John to the fun spot. The fun spot is called. And they have the best time. They get the keys to the city, it's called. Oh, man. And they're just riding go-karts. And John Uso can't make his go-kart win. And then he says he hates go-karts now. And the go-karts stop. They're just having the best time. And she's awesome. So.
Now, how much do you think Trinity spent on that one? I don't know if it was one day or if they.
I think it was
monkey.
Multiple days. You know, I don't know if it was one day or multiple days.
Let's presume it's like a week. Because when they got the minivan, she was saying she got it for a week. Because it was roomier
okay.
than the
Mustang.
We'll
say a week. We'll say it's
how
a week.
Do you
I
think,
yeah.
How much do you think that she did spend on this? Because John was like starting to get concerned. How much did that? He's like, not even going to worry. He's like, not going to worry. Not going to throw a wine glass at you. But if you had
Let's
to put a dollar amount.
Well, renting a van for the week, that's probably.
That's about $500.
That's what I was going to think, too. About $500 right there. You know, you're assuming $100 a day. So we got $500. And then renting a bounce house, I'm sure that's got to be pretty, you know, $200 or so. It's not a ton because, you know, poor people do it all the time for their kids for days. I see it all the time. I'll be driving down the street in the backyard. There's a dirty-ass house. There'll be a gross bounce house with all these poor people just having fun. So it can't
be
that much.
Do you have a laptop for this?
Yes, I do. Okay, let's Google bounce house. I don't know what to Google. Bounce house. Let's see. Bounce house. Oh, Buying one is almost, they're only like $300, so it can't cost much to rent one. Bounce House Rentals in Indiana. Here we go. They're called the Bounce House Guys. Maybe we can
maybe
get the Bounce House. Maybe the Bounce House Guys will sponsor us.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
All right. While I bring this up, oh, here we go. Rentals. All right. Rentals. A bounce house. Man, this is again. It's very tense. Very exciting. The bounce house. Yeah, it's $160. So, I bet all said and done, especially living in a more expensive city, we'll say $200. So we're at $700. All right. How much do you think it costs to rent alligators and goats?
I'm going to say that probably cost her, I'd say $200 for him to drive that van full of animals.
That would be my guess too, because it can't be too much. They're just animals. He just puts them in a dirty old cage. It's not a big deal. So we're looking at what, $900. And then the fun spot. Oh, just Google it. What city was it in? Do you remember?
I want to say they were in Sarasota, Florida.
There's a fun spot in Orlando, so I know it's not that one. Oh, here we go. I found it. Nope, that's the one in Orlando.
They moved from Orlando.
Yeah. The only fun spot I see is in Orlando, but I'll just use it as a general. We'll look at this. Let's see. Buy tickets. If it says keys to the city, we'll know we're in the right spot. The right fun spot. Why doesn't this say anything? This is stupid. What are you thinking, though? It's got to be pretty expensive because there were what? How many kids are there? Four?
They only had two.
I thought there were more kids than that. I thought there were...
No, because another family joined them.
Oh, okay.
But for the four of them, Trinity paid. And then, like, some other random family just happened to be there and joined them.
Okay, so we'll then assume that it was four people they paid for. Gator spot single day pass. I don't see the key to the city on here. But the most expensive thing I see is like $75. Do we want to guess that? Like, do we want to go $75 or do we want to go with the more like, it has to be because they went with like the big time, right?
Yeah,
we'll say $75. So about $250 we'll say there.
All right. All right. The food because they were eating. And
no, that's that's $300. I was wrong. So $300. Food, we'll say another $100.
Oh, easily more than that. I bet they spent $200.
Oh, okay. So we're at, let's see, it's $500. We're at $1,400. Was there anything else or was that it?
That was the last of it because after that, John started getting the calls from the mother.
Mm. So I'm going to say, honestly, around, you know, we'll say $2,000. We'll go even over. Doing that in a week for your kids for like a fun thing, when you have money like that, I don't think that's too much, really, is it?
Trinity didn't think so. John sure
did.
Yeah.
But did he really think so? Because if he did, he would have stopped it.
I think he's afraid to stop it because he saw what she was trying to do and didn't want to discourage it. So he just went with it because he's much calmer since they moved. But, yeah, he didn't see the need of a bounce house and petting zoo delivered right to the house when he could have went to the petting zoo and going to the fun spot.
But here we go. I have the list of their alleged earnings for 2015, okay? We'll see. We'll just get an idea of what these people might make. How much do you think Uso makes? Which one is he? Is he Jay or Jimmy?
He's Jimmy.
He makes $255,000, allegedly. And let's see if she's on here. Divas, okay. And she allegedly makes six figures, $100,000-ish. But I think that's a little outdated. I don't know. Because some of the lesser divas make more than that. Like, I mean, a snooker makes more than that, and there's no way. So they probably pull in pretty close to $500,000.
Yeah, they could have probably easily slipped that $2,000 in a week. Plus, think how much they saved living in that tiny apartment for all those years.
What are we doing with our lives?
I don't know, but I have a number two.
Oh my God, we're not even done. Okay, go.
My number two, the Brian Kendrick, because he just placated Eva Marie and Jonathan Coyle once again. Jonathan Coyle was like, was the Kendrick a signature move or a finishing move? Like, he knew the difference. He didn't know the difference. He just was throwing out questions. Seemed like he knew what he was talking about. And Kendrick's like, oh, it could go either way, but it was my finisher, when it wasn't called the Kendrick as his finisher, but he didn't say that. And, you know, after they had the conversation behind the scenes with, you can't say white bread number two anymore, got to call it the Kendrick. He's like, well, at least let me smuggle another wrestling company onto the show without you guys doing anything. And they're like, okay. And so he's wearing a Santino Brothers t-shirt representing the Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy and promotion in Southern California.
Yes.
The Man. School that spawned Thunder Kitty, as it were.
Oh, I did not know that.
Indeed, she was a Santino Brothers graduate.
Thunder Kitty rules, and it was very upsetting for me to watch her in the Queen of the Death matches. I didn't like her doing that.
Yeah, she goes into these death match things. I get a little trepidatious, but she loves them.
I don't. This makes me sad. Not really. It doesn't make me sad. I still watched it. Whatever.
You didn't try to talk her out of it.
No, I would never. If she wants to, you know, thumbtack up her ass, I don't care. It's not me. It's not my life.
All right.
What has happened? So anything else with this show?
Yes. Number one was possibly the most clear number one for me in all the episodes we've ever done, all 29 of them.
Wow.
Far and away, it was the WWE Universe at the NXT taping.
Yes.
Now, at this taping, Eva Marie was going to make her comeback, and she said, I'm not wrestling a match, but I'm going to do an interview. And then she was quick to add, for the audience, like, you know, to differentiate or doing an interview for the ring announcer or the referee or whatever. It was for the actual audience that paid to see the interview. And she goes out there, and they immediately just start booing her. And so she's like, maybe if I wave and smile. So she tries that, and they boo louder. And then they inform her that she can't wrestle. And so she tries to go heel, and she's like, I can wait here. And then she's like, wait, I'm not a heel. So she's like, I'm trying to get better, and you know, I'm working on it. And they just keep informing her that she can't wrestle. So she's like, I know, I'll wave again, and that will settle things. So she waves again. Doesn't settle things with the WWE Universe. They still boo her. Nothing she did got the reaction that she wanted, although she later claimed any reaction was what she was after, but it was not. Otherwise, she would embrace getting booed out of there. But she did not. She just desperately tried to get them on her side. And you know somebody in the back that was around in like the 70s and early 80s said, just smile. The fans will cheer if you just smile. Just go out there and smile. You can't smile enough. Keep smiling. And she's like, oh, okay. And so she used this late 70s technique, and it failed miserably. died a horrible death there at Full Sail University.
Mm-hmm. She did. And when she finally wrestled her match that no one saw, the crowd didn't watch it because no one saw it, apparently. But the crowd that in imagination watched it, they gave her props by the end of her match. They were fine with her. They saw she was trying. They liked it.
That'll be a different episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, it definitely will be. Oh, brother. Anything else for the show? I hate this show.
Well, Arion couldn't let the Bella family be the only snitches on this show. So
yeah.
The second she got the chance, she took Eva Marie shopping so she could rat out Foxy. And I almost put Foxy in my bottom three. I had her, erased her, had her again, erased her.
Yeah, she was horrible.
But
she was barely in it, but it was enough to be wretched.
Yes. And Arion's like, I got to get Eva Marie alone so I can snitch out Foxy. And she's like, oh, here's what Foxy said verbatim. I wrote it down, and I took it on my phone, and here's all the proof. She said this. I didn't want to cause any trouble. I hate drama, but she said this about you at work.
Uh-huh.
And she caused the whole thing the last time. She's like, maybe if I start it up again, they'll put me on TV. Not working. Not working.
No. Not at all. Not at all. Oh, brother. Anything else with this dreadful, dreadful show?
If you're a U.S. general, do not let these broads have automatic weapons.
That's a very fine statement. They assuredly should not have automatic weapons.
Maddie just turns and points at a guy with her finger on the trigger. I shot the gun.
But do you think it's possible the guns they were holding were maybe made of licorice? That they were just tricking us. It was a swerved episode.
No, because they actually fired live ammunition. They showed them blowing stuff up.
But maybe it's a cutscene. They cut it. They say, all right, rig in the licorice guns. We're going to swerve these army captains.
I don't think so. I think probably the general is like, well, maybe if we give them live ammunition, the broads will like go out with us and we can get them drunk on wine and have our ways with them. But
mm-hmm.
Not a smart idea. Natty almost shot a guy. You could see the horror on his face. Like, why is she turning and pointing at me with that weapon with her finger on the trigger? Because she was so happy she didn't kill anyone else, because she clearly was meaning that when she asked him, what if I shoot something I'm not supposed to? Clearly,
yeah.
What she was actually asking was, what if I turn around to ask a question and I shoot you?
Oh, brother. So what's going on in your life, sign guy? What's coming up?
Well, on Friday, we continue Zane Month on Sign Guy's Wrestling Show with the Mad Dragon, Hakeem Zane.
Hmm.
And then from there, I got to beeline it to Bremerton, Washington, because I'm...
Have you ever heard the song Move to Bremerton by MXGX?
Go ahead and tell me the name of the band. You don't have to spell it.
MXPX.
No.
It's like this. Move to Bremerton, we'll hang out. Move to Bremerton, we'll go all out. Move to Bremerton, do you need something? I'll post it on the Total Dudes Facebook for everybody to enjoy.
That
Bremerton, okay.
Promising. Bremerton also is the home of Wildcat Chris Harris. I learned this last fall when I worked a show with him in Kentucky.
Really?
Yes, and
I
he
thought he
was
was from.
shocked that there's actual wrestling in Bremerton. He was floored, could not believe it. But I said,
Yeah.
ask Kevin Sullivan. He once ran up to the building, dropped his jeans, jumped into the ring in his underwear, did a 5-minute match, jumped out, pulled up his pants, said, Butter, we gotta go, we gotta catch the ferry, Butter, get to the ferry, Butter. And then he believed me.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I love that. So what else you got going
Well, after that, on Sunday, we have on Turnbuckle Turmoil, Johnny Rock, and then I'm beelining down to Portland. I'll be back at NWA Blue Collar this week.
Now, have things settled down there in terms of rule breakers not following the law and perhaps harming helpless officials? What's the
Well,
deal?
I've been off for a couple of weeks, but I've heard no incidents with T-Rex being splattered along the wall or anything like that. So I hope they're in a little bit more control now than a few weeks ago.
Interesting. I'm glad to hear that it's coming together a little better. You guys deserve it. You guys deserve to be taken care of.
And there is a brand new NWA Blue Collar Champion. It is Minnie
Yes.
B's favorite wrestler, Buddy Highway.
Highway. I like
Yes.
the name. Well, I'll
I
have to
once
look
beat
into
Buddy
it.
Highway for the NWA Blue Collar YouTube Heavyweight Championship. That's a true story.
Really?
Yes.
When was this?
Like almost precisely 2 years ago.
Yes.
Almost to the very day. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Oh, this has all been fascinating.
It really
Blue
has.
collar, NWA blue collar. Look into that. Look into sign of the times, undisclosed locations where Crazy Steve lives now.
Crazy Steve should not have picked the sad garden. He should have picked a spot where there's food and water. He could have picked the undisclosed strip club in Alaska. He could have picked the undisclosed brick wall, which may have led to somewhere civilized, but instead he picked the sad garden where there was just dried up flowers. And despite what the sign in the background said, that 100 feet of garden did not produce 200 pounds of food. I guarantee it.
Oh, brother. Well, big event this weekend for the Razor Ramones. We added an extra Z to our name to team up with Crazy Steve. So we're now the Razor Ramones. We got the big show this Friday night, August 21st, the Fitz Quarter Lounge in Indianapolis, Indiana. You'll see the Razor Ramones. You'll see Star Wars themed band, the Yavin 4. You'll see the best band in the world that played my wedding and Beth's wedding when we got married to each other, be my doppelganger. And you'll see the Jericho Harlot on tour from Ohio, I think. Lots of special guests, lots of fun. There's gonna be toy vendors there selling damn toys. You wanna go there? You want to buy a Boba Fett? I don't know anything about this stuff, so I'm out of my element. But if you want to buy a Boba Fett toy, or you want to buy, they might have Crash Holly toys. I got like three Crash Holly toys in the attic if you want to buy one, by the way. Big show, August 21st, this Friday, Fitz Quarter Lounge, Indianapolis, Indiana. The following Friday, August 28th, we head, boom, down to Louisville, our home away from home for the Razor Ramones. There, we team up with Tracer's excellent band. We team up with our Eskimo brothers of our Art of Wrestling Eskimo brothers, mind you. The Barbariettes, another wrestling themed band. They're excellent. We team up with Boner City. I remember their name this time. It's Boner City. We team up with Rebuilder on tour. And, oh shit, there's one more. Who am I forgetting? Owner City, Us, Rebuilder, Tracers. Sign Guy, what did I do with my life? I forget. Who's the fifth band?
Yavin 4, perhaps.
Uh-oh, we're the fifth band. So Razor
wow.
Ramones. Rebuilder.
Wow.
the Miller Lights are hitting hard, brother. So, Razor Ramones, Rebuilder, Owner City, Barbariettes, our wrestling Eskimo Brothers, and Tracers. So that's what's coming up for us. Some big shows, Sign Guy. What do you think of that?
That sounds huge. And hopefully, in Louisville, you'll see Slick and maybe slip in one of my business cards.
We will, if we see him. And I got to try to get in touch with Jim Cornette because he's supposed to come too.
Well, maybe you should shoot him an email.
I'm going to email him right now while I'm thinking about it. If you haven't seen it, you guys, go on to YouTube, watch the video of Jim Cornette cutting a promo on the Razor Ramones. It's awesome. So.
And also, use extreme caution because Louisville, the home of Winky Face Jonak, noted stalker.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the show, Sign Guy. We might, there's maybe some stuff in the works for us. We'll try to get more professional. We'll wrap the shows up quicker. We'll not talk so much about teas, maybe.
That
I might not toss.
Liver.
I might not toss a game of 20 questions in. We'll tighten it up. We'll just tighten it up, brother. Just tighten it up, you know. Anything else you want to say?
I think that'll do it.
And I just want to say that the Indiana Pacers are better than the Boston Celtics. Then that's it for this Sign Guy and Rex.
Total lying, Sign Guy.
Cause now I'm back, back, back on top of the world. I'm back.